Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini back with you guys for another half hour. And wow, we have a lot to unpack in this episode. A lot to kind of bounce around with. I'm going to be going from topic to topic, just kind of touching on a bunch of different stuff that's happened in Phillies land. Truly, if you live under a rock, my goodness, have you missed a lot in really just the last 2 to 3 days. It has been a whirlwind of things that have happened. Milestones have been reached. Suspensions have been given out. Debuts have been made. And maybe bucking a trend of recent memory at a certain ballpark. We're going to touch on all of that. Look, it's going to be a very, very packed episode. But without further ado, let's get into it. I want to start with, let's start with the positive right away. And that is two things. One, Mick Abel's debut on Sunday, which obviously goes as good as any Phillies debut I can remember in recent memory, especially when it comes to a pitcher. Now, we haven't really had too many Phillies debuts on the mound in recent memory. I guess last year there was a couple. There was Michael Mercado, there was Tyler Phillips. But if you want to talk about making your debut and making it one to be remembered and making it one to make a statement, that is Mick Abel going 6 shutout innings against the Pirates, gives up 5 hits, 9 strikeouts, only on 84 pitches. I mean, he was just dominant in that Sunday game against Paul Skenes on the other side of the mound. I mean, you've got another dominant guy who won Rookie of the Year last year that you're opposing. You know that you basically have to be perfect if the Phillies are going to beat Paul Skenes. They had never faced Skenes prior to Sunday, so you knew that there was going to be some trouble in store for them. They weren't going to, you know, they don't have anything to kind of base it off of or base it on in terms of what they've done against him in years past. Like, this was the first time. So if you're Mick Abel, you know you have to have a really good outing. You know that you need to kind of just go out there and out-duel Paul Skenes, and somehow he does it. Somehow Mick Abel just completely dominates that Pirates lineup. He looked filthy from the get-go. He was tossing 98, 99 in the first inning. His fastball velocity was averaging 97.3 on the gun in his first start. I mean, just with a wipeout slider and a wipeout curveball on top of it. I mean, starting on the same plane as the fastball and just dropping out of the zone, or then throwing and getting it in there for the called third strike when he throws a great one that just falls right in the lower, you know, the low and away part of the strike zone. I mean, he was filthy. He was at everything I could have expected and more. Mick Abel was drafted in 2020. He was a guy that we have heard about for a really long time. He was the 15th overall pick, by the way, in that 2020 draft. Like, a guy that we have kept tabs on, had our eye on for a long time. He had a really good start in the minor leagues for his career, and really kind of struggled in 2024. Had seemingly figured it out in 2025. He's got an ERA sub-3 right now. The walks have always been an issue for Abel. It's been something that he has not been able to kind of fully corral, but no walks in his major league debut. He pitches a gem, and that is certainly the positive that I would say to take away from that. Now, prior to the Colorado game last night, the Phillies recalled Max Lazar from AAA Lehigh Valley, and they sent Mick Abel back down to AAA to make room for Max Lazar on the roster. I get it. That is what the Phillies had originally planned. It's what they said they were going to do. They said this was only going to be a spot start for Abel. Now, of course, with the Alvarado suspension, I thought that that might be a little bit different. Maybe you keep Taiwan in the pen, you keep Abel in the rotation. I think Taiwan provides you more in the bullpen than he does in the rotation, but ultimately not what they're going to do. And I also understand it, because if you want Mick Abel to kind of ride a hot streak and he has a really good outing in the big leagues, it's going to give him a ton of confidence. Let him go build up that confidence in AAA. Let him continue to work through the kinks, to work through everything that he wants to work through, to then eventually hopefully come back up and be a pitcher for this team this season. It's interesting because with the Alvarado suspension, and I guess we'll segue into that Alvarado suspension now. I've mentioned it multiple times. It's massive. And there's two things that I think about when I think of this Alvarado suspension, and one of them involves Mick Abel. So the Alvarado suspension is brutal. If you're a Phillies player on the team, I'm sure you almost feel like backstabbed. I mean, you don't know if Alvarado knew what he was doing. You feel hurt. It certainly hurts the team. And I think the biggest thing is not the 80-game suspension. It's the fact that he cannot pitch in the postseason. He's going to be out 80 games, with a roughly take in until August, somewhere in that area. So, I mean, he's going to be out for a long time. It's a darn shame. It sucks. But I think that the biggest problem with all this is the fact that he can't pitch for you come playoff time. Now, Dombrowski's going to have to get creative, and he's going to have to fill needs in the bullpen. He's going to have to find guys, or they're going to need to grow guys in the minor leagues that, groom them to becoming good relievers. Now, the benefit of this, too, is they have a great starting rotation where it feels like you can move certain guys to the bullpen once the playoffs roll around, because you really only need 3 to 4 starters in the playoffs, 3 prior to the NLCS, and then probably 4 starters in the NLCS and World Series. So you have the ability to move some of your guys into the bullpen that aren't in the bullpen currently, but Dombrowski's going to have to get creative. And the trade deadline's in 2 months, so there's a lot of time left, and you're not going to make a move now because teams know that you're reliever needy, and they're going to try and, ask for a large price if they're going to try and give up one of their guys to give them to you. So I'm not expecting him to make any sort of move right now. I think that's why they bring up a guy like Max Lazar, kind of see what he has, see what they can get out of him, and figure that out. But there's not going to be anything they can do really right now. And that's why this is so massive. That's why this is so frustrating that Jose Alvarado is suspended for the next 80 games. And then also the ineligible for the postseason is just, it's brutal. And it's not a development that this team needed. It's not a development that I think any of us saw coming. Shocking, quite frankly. I was shocked when I saw the news on Sunday morning. I couldn't believe what I was reading. It just, the Braves had Jurickson Profar get suspended this year. By my account, what I can think of, I don't know if I'm missing anybody, but I think those are the only two players that have been suspended this season so far. It's Profar and it's Alvarado. So I don't know what's going on in the water in the NL East, but guys getting suspended from the big leagues is it's unfortunate. It stinks. And like I said, the playoffs is the biggest issue for me. Obviously, the Phillies need to get there, so you can't count your chickens before they hatch. But if we get this team to go where we expect them to go to, not having one of your top relievers, potentially your closer, in that spot is certainly brutal. Now, they do benefit from Jordan Romano, figuring it out recently over the last month and becoming the pitcher that they thought they were getting when they signed him. He's got the velocity back up 97. He's got the sharper breaking pitches now. He's actually commanding the strike zone rather than just throwing it and having no idea where it's going. So you get that totally, but not having that other leveraged left-handed arm out of the pen is brutal, because a guy like Matt Strom, who Rob Thompson kind of likes using to put out fires, he likes putting him in the sixth inning if there's two guys on to try and get out of a jam that the starter might have left him. Now, all of a sudden, you've got to sit on Matt Strom, and you've got to leave him in the pen and potentially use him in the eighth inning, or use him in the ninth inning, or use him an inning later in the seventh, because you don't want to have to burn one of your only left-handed arms out of the pen to get out of a big jam in, say, the sixth inning. So I think this could also factor into the starters needing to kind of get through more innings, the starters needing to get out of jams when they are presented to them. So it's just kind of a whole big thing with Alvarado that you definitely are losing a massive piece to your pen. Dombrowski talked about it being, just like they had an injury to a guy for the rest of the season. That's how they would handle it. They would have to try and just pick themselves up and move on from it. And so that's how they're treating this Alvarado thing. Dombrowski mentioned that he's had players go out for the season and the team still are able to go deep into the playoffs. I don't know that he's ever had a player suspended. I should have looked into that. I'm not sure if Dombrowski has ever had a guy suspended on his team before and what he's done, but it's unfortunate. So I don't want to spend too much time on it, because I could talk to him blue in the face about how frustrating and disappointing it is. But I mean, obviously you're not going to get anywhere with that. And there's a lot of positives that we can take away from the Phillies over the last couple of days as well that I want to get into. And one of those is, like I mentioned, the fact that Romano and Strom are guys that are going to be in more high leverage spots and are guys that completely succeeded in that on Sunday against Pittsburgh. Strom goes in an inning scoreless that has two strikeouts, and Romano comes in the ninth to strike out the side. So they're going to be more taxed. They're going to have more leverage spots, as is Orion Kirkring, who also pitched in that game and gave up a hit and a walk and didn't strike anybody out, but was able to get out of the inning. Those guys are going to get more high leverage situations. Joe Ross is going to find himself in a more high leverage situation. Jose Ruiz might find himself in a more high leverage situation. Carlos Hernandez last night against the Rockies came in a 6-3 game in the eighth inning and is in a high leverage spot. It's basically trial by fire right now. You know, these guys that are in the pen, they're going to have to get thrown into a situation, and can they figure it out? Can Carlos Hernandez continue to pound the strike zone rather than walking the bases loaded? Can Jose Ruiz continue to pound the strike zone and get big leverage outs in a big spot? Can Kirkering get rid of the walks? Can he finally, you know, can he have the command the strike zone more, not be walking guys, not be making uncompetitive pitches to let guys be on base or to let guys get a better angle on him when they're in the batter's box? You know, can he figure that out? Is questions that are going to arise. All that did not have to happen. Obviously, Alvarado isn't injured. He's suspended. So it doesn't feel like any of this stuff really needed to happen. It's unfortunate that it did, but how the Phillies make do with it from here on out is going to be the main story about things. And just one more thing on this reliever topic right now. Interesting. Mark Feinsand had an article on social media on MLB.com. You can find that again. Mark Feinsand is the writer. Talked about how Jose Alvarado's suspension has left a huge hole in the Phillies bullpen. How might they address it? And the number one guy that he's mentioning in the article about who the Phillies could reach out to is David Robertson, if you remember. Prior to the announcement of Alvarado's suspension, a source said the Phillies reached out to free agent reliever David Robertson. He's easily the best reliever left on the open market. There are no serious talks that took place, the source said, but it wouldn't be a surprise if the Phillies considered a reunion with the 40-year-old who had two previous stints in Philadelphia. Now, Robertson's still on the market in the end of May. Obviously a red flag. He pitched last, I believe, for the Rangers last season. I know he was on the Rangers two seasons ago. I believe he was also on them last year and still a free agent at this point. So, you know, is it something that's going to move the needle? Is it a guy that's going to get us excited and say the back of the bullpen's fine? No, of course not. David Robertson is well past the pitcher that he was for the prime Yankees of 10 years ago, but he's a guy that can certainly get a job done. He's a guy that if he's throwing strikes, as we all remember, David Robertson had a bit of an issue with that when he was a Philly, but he can be an effective reliever. So whether or not the Phillies make any sort of move towards him now, because that Feinsand article, he was talking about the Phillies had announcements or prior to the announcement of Alvarado had made conversation and had talks with Robertson and his camp about whether or not they would try and get him to come onto the squad, get him to come on, you know, stop being on the free agent market and come join the Phillies. Those talks weren't exactly serious. They did not have any, I guess, offers that were officially made. So I don't know if that's going to expedite now because of the fact that Alvarado is on the suspended list. You know, what's going to happen there remains to be seen, but keep your eye out for that. David Robertson is a guy that's on the Phillies radar and a guy that they might try and go after in order to fill a void in that bullpen. All right, I want to move on to last night's game because the Phillies do go into Colorado, a team that is 30 games below 500 entering play last night. They are now 31 below. They are 8-39. Phillies go into Colorado. They win the game 9-3. Christopher Sanchez, who didn't have his best stuff last night, but still gutted it out, still had a good start. 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 7 strikeouts. It's the first start of the year for Sanchez where he did not walk a batter, which is huge. So he didn't have the control issues that he's kind of had in other starts previous. The Phillies offense largely lifeless against Kyle Freeland until the fifth inning when they get a run on a Bryce Harper single. Bryce Harper single. The Rockies then take a 3-1 lead in the sixth. The Phillies make the lead. The Rockies have 3-2 on a Harper sack fly in the seventh. They then come storming back in the top half of the eighth inning when Alec Boehm hits a home run to put the Phillies up 4-3. Trey Turner then doubles to right center to make it 6-3 on a ball that Brenton Doyle probably shouldn't have laid out for, but he did. The ball ended up getting by him. Sosa and Marsh circle the bases and score. And then in the ninth inning, Kyle Schwarber hits a solo home run 464 feet off the facing of the third deck in right field. It's the 300th of his career. Massive, massive spot for him to hit that home run. And in Schwarber fashion, number 300 is a moonshot. Just a ball that he annihilated to right field. I mean, off the bat, you knew that ball was miles out of the ballpark. So awesome for him to get number 300. I think it's like 163 players in the history of the game have hit 300-plus home runs. Schwarber joins that list now. Awesome for him. Ben Davis said it on the broadcast last night. Wouldn't surprise me or wouldn't surprise him if Schwarber was able to hit 300 more. I don't know if I'd go that far. Schwarber is 32 years old now. He's been in the league since 2015, so he's been in the league a decade, and he's hit 300 home runs. Is he going to be in the league another decade? Yeah, I guess he could. I don't think that he's going to hit 300 more. I think Schwarber could hit 200 more and get him to that 500 number, but remains to be seen. But again, Kyle Schwarber needs to be on the Phillies team for going forward. Dave Dombrowski, make the move. Don't be an idiot. Have Schwarber retained on this team. He is obviously a key cog in the machine of the Phillies. And then Hernandez throws a scoreless eighth. Tanner Banks throws a scoreless ninth. The bullpen throws a scoreless three innings after Sanchez, which is nice. They did the same thing on Sunday, three scoreless innings against the Pirates. So the Phillies bullpen is on the right track, even though they have lost one of their key pieces. They are still pitching pretty well and far better than they did in the beginning of the season when it seemed like the sky was falling with that bullpen. And what also to me is massive is I understand that the Rockies are 8-39, and I know they're a terrible team. I know they have a terrible pitching staff. They have a pretty lifeless offense on the whole. The bullpen is terrible as well. But the Phillies entering into play at Coors Field yesterday since 2017 were 7-16, and they had only won one of those seven series at Coors Field. And largely, this has been a Rockies squad since 2017 that has been terrible. Now, they made the playoffs in 2018, if you remember that game 163 that they had. That's the last time they made the playoffs. They have been a massive failure and a massive disappointment ever since then. They've kind of gotten worse year by year, it feels like. Now, obviously, the worst of them all. They only have 8 wins on May 20th, which feels impossible. They are on pace to be worse than last year's White Sox, which just astounds me after how bad the White Sox were last year, that somehow that crown of being the worst team ever in the modern era could be broken in the very next year. But that's the situation the Rockies find themselves in. But the Phillies have not played well in that ballpark, period. Phillies have not been a good team at Coors Field. The last time that they won a series there was 2023. They took 2 out of 3 in Colorado. They have been incredibly disappointing. I don't know what it is that when they go out there, they can't hit, they can't pitch. It's like the nightmare after nightmare. It's a house of horrors. They've got a couple of them already in Truist Park and also in Citi Field with the Braves and the Mets. They do not play well at either of those places. And then when you move outside of the NL East, they do not play well in Colorado. They do not play well in San Francisco. But Colorado is the one we focus on right now with the record of 7-16 since 2017. So immediately throughout that game, I mean, I was ready to come on here today while watching the game last night and just rip them, and the Phillies, that is, and just, you know, roast them, say it's pathetic that they lose to an 8-38 team. That was the way the game was trending, where their offense was lifeless through the first 7 innings of the game, couldn't get anything done, and wildly infuriating that was the performance that they were putting out there against this team, and finally something clicks in the eighth inning where they kind of get 4 runs and they kind of just figure it out. Guys get multiple hits in a row, and it's looking more promising. And then obviously they blow it open in the ninth. Completely changes the complexion of this episode and how I was going to talk about them as it relates to that game last night. So good to see them rebound. Good to see them figure it out late in the game, and good to see the Phillies winning that game last night to improve their record to 29-18, which. This might shock some people because it shocks me even saying it. The Phillies are 29-18. They overtook first place over the Mets last night in the NL East. They now have a half-game lead over the Mets. They also have the best record in the National League. Let that sink in. They have the best record in the National League. They have the second-best record in all of baseball. The only team that's better than them right now is the Detroit Tigers, who are 31-17. Just dominant from the Phillies recently. They're 16-5 in their last 21 games. Granted, yes, the schedule has been easy. We talked about this prior to that road trip they made when they went to Tampa Bay and Cleveland. I said, this is an easy part of that Phillies schedule. They need to figure it out now. They figured it out in Tampa. They figured it out in Cleveland. They had a lackluster series against the Cardinals, which did not go over well. But you follow that up against Pittsburgh with a sweep. So you end up going 4-2 on a homestand after losing the first series 2 out of 3. And then going to Colorado, a team that has 8 wins, and then going to the A's after that, a team that's 22-26 and seemingly can't get out of their own way right now, that's massive. And that is a very, very promising thing to see from this team, that they're taking care of the teams that they need to take care of. And that is the benefit. And that's giving them the best record in the National League right now. Does it feel like it necessarily? Maybe not. We've given this team a lot of flack through the first 2 months of the season, rightfully so, I think, in a lot of ways. But they have all of a sudden stormed back. They've got that best record in the NL, and I'm hoping that they can continue to push forward with that, distance themselves from the Mets a little bit, continue to have the best record, and just keep playing good baseball, because the schedule will get harder after they play the A's and after they play the Rockies. You're going to play Atlanta. You're going to play Milwaukee, who's a solid team. You're going to go and play Toronto in Toronto. Then you got the Cubs, Toronto again, like, you know, and the Mets and the schedule gets harder, of course. But the month of May has been a benefit to them, and they've taken it and used it to their advantage, which I give them a heck of a lot of credit for, that they've gotten themselves to 29-18 and the best record in the NL. All right, that is a lot that we touched on with the Phils, Mick Abel's debut, the Alvarado suspension, the way that the bullpen can kind of figure it out, Kyle Schwarber hitting 300, the Phillies beating the Rockies after being 7-16 at that field in the last 8 years, and winning a big game against Colorado last night, overtaking the Mets for the NL East and having the best record in the National League. A lot to touch on in Phillies land. Again, if you lived under a rock and I'm explaining all that to you for the first time, where have you been? I hope you enjoyed your sleep, but you've got a lot to catch up on as it pertains to the Phillies. And you've got some stuff to catch up on as it pertains to Major League Baseball as well. We will run through the standings real quick. Now, the Yankees, who did not play yesterday, but they've played the Mets in the Subway Series over the weekend. If you didn't see that, great for baseball, the Juan Soto-Yankee rivalry that is now brewed. There's been some stuff that's come out about Soto not liking it on the Mets. He's put on a couple of extra pounds. He was dodging media. He was begging not to be on the mic on Sunday Night Baseball because he didn't want to answer more questions about the Yankees. The Yankee fans let him hear it, which was to be expected. I mean, he got booed louder than anybody I think I've ever heard get booed in my life. The whole bleacher seats in right field, whatever you call them, had their back turned to Soto when he ran out there. I mean, the Yankee fans, not big on Juan Soto right now, and I think it affected Soto a little bit. He was only 1-for-10 in the series. Yanks take 2 out of 3. They win 6-2 in game one and then 8-2 on Sunday Night Baseball. But an interesting series nonetheless, a fun one to watch. They are the only team, the Yankees, above 500 in that AL East. Red Sox 24-25, Toronto 22-24, the Rays 21-26, and Baltimore, the disappointment of the season, to say the least. They fired their manager in Brandon Hyde last week. They're 15-31, cannot get out of their own way. Feels like the Orioles wasted their opportunity, their window that they had. Didn't win any playoff games the last 2 years, and it's really all coming back to bite them right now. They're terrible this season, and that's starting pitching, the main culprit, I think, for them. Best record in the American League and in MLB as a whole, like I said, goes to the Detroit Tigers. They've got a 4.5-game lead over the Twins, believe it or not, who have been on fire. The Twins finally lost last night. They had been on fire and just continued winning and winning and winning and winning. And they finally lose against Milwaukee last night, but they are 26-21, 4.5 games behind the Tigers. Kansas City's 27-22, the Guardians 25-21, and the White Sox 14-34. That's an interesting AL Central, because that's a division that usually is terrible and feels like never wins any playoff series. But they've got four teams above 500 right now, so credit to them. Seattle still leads in the AL West. They're 27-19. The Astros are 25-22. Rangers 25-23. And the A's 22-26. And Angels 21-25. That entire division is only separated by 6 games, which I always think is impressive when a division is that close. Going over to the NL East, obviously the Phillies lead a half game over the Mets. The Braves are 24-23. They're 5 back. Washington 21-27. They are 8.5 back. And Miami 19-27. 9.5 back. So Phillies open up a lead in the NL East. Hopefully they can expand on that. The Cubs continue to lead the NL Central. They are a game ahead of the Cardinals. Cubs are 28-20. Cardinals 27-21. Even after that 9-game win streak was ended by the Phillies, they have still been red hot and still finding a way to play good baseball. Cincinnati is 25-24. They are getting Hunter Green, their ace pitcher, back this Friday. He's been on the IL with the grade 1 groin strain. He will come back this Friday and pitch for them. Milwaukee 23-25, disappointing season for them, and the Pirates 15-33. They are 13 back. They have a minus 68 run differential to the Pirates. Not good. Not good what's going on in Pirate land. And in the NL West, the Dodgers lead at 29-19. The Padres are 27-18 and a half game back. The Giants 28-20 are a game back. Arizona 26-22. They are 3 games back. And those Rockies that we just played last night, 8-39 for a 170 winning percentage, 20.5 games back of the division on May 20th, and a minus 150 run differential. Real bad things going on in Denver, Colorado for the Rockies. All right, that will do it for me on this edition of Phillies Today. A lot that we touched on, a lot to get into in Phillies land. The pitching matchup tonight for the Phillies, it's going to be Jesus Luzardo on the mound for them. So you always are expecting a good outing from Luzardo. He is opposed by Anthony Senzatela, who, if you remember, the Phillies got 10 hits off of on April 3rd, but only scored one run, and that run was unearned. So a little bit of a weird outing there for him. He's 1-7 with a 6.39 ERA. Luzardo 4-0 with a 2 ERA on the nose. Expect a good one out of Luzardo tonight, even though it's at Coors Field. He is not facing a good lineup, and you should be able to get a good outing out of him. Taiwan will start for the Phillies on Wednesday. Wheeler will start for the Phillies on Thursday. And we will talk next Tuesday after the Phillies play the A's, and then following that, they will play, I believe, Atlanta after that. So keep it locked in here. Keep it locked in on the Phillies. Hopefully they can extend this best record of the National League and continue their run right now as NL East champs, continue to push forward and distance themselves, because I think that's something that we would all calm down about and think less about the Alvarado suspension and all of that as it comes. All right, we'll talk next week, guys. Enjoy the week, and as always, go Phils.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.